you.
Hello?
No. Can you see me? Hello, can you see me?
You might just sit a bit back from your camera. Mr. Naika, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, you might just move a little back. You're right on top of your camera.
Is that okay?
Bring your camera down a bit. Not a little. No, no, the other way.
This way?
No, no, we're still just seeing your forehead.
Okay.
There we are. Oh, yeah, there we are.
Hi, Jen. Is it my ID? Yes. I don't hash equivalent. Okay, it can sound like a long time was the IT kitchen. Okay, all right.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me now?
So, yes.
I'm Naika. On the phone with the government there. Hello.
Copy.
Just confirm the book.
are you, Riaz?
Muted.
I'm thinking, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Right, let's see who else is on. Mamchand, how are you?
Honorable Member Singh, how are you, sir?
I am good, thanks. And how are you doing, my man?
I'm good, sir.
You're lucky you sent me some good answers. You've been in trouble.
You know me.
I
always make sure that you and my member and I, you must get a detailed info.
Yeah, all these Fisher people would have been very angry if you didn't send us those answers.
You know what?
Okay. Thank you. No,
thanks.
Comrade Anna, I don't see her, but
she joined us.
Yes. That's great. Vienna.
Yes, Comrade Hannah.
There you are. How are you, Anna?
Well, thanks. How are you, Honorable Singh?
I'm good, thanks.
Are we getting these fish finally?
No, it'll be very interesting to hear the contributions.
Yeah.
Salam, Injaba. Chairperson is connected. Batlingwan is connected.
Hi everyone, I'm trying to get hold of the chairperson. We're having a connection problem. Hello?
Okay, yes, we can
All
see
right.
him, but I think he's frozen.
Yeah, I see no. him, yeah, but...
Hello, Opasi.
How's it coming, Melissa? You well?
I'm all right, are you well?
I'm very well, thanks.
Well, I haven't seen him.
Nick, can you hear me? Baba Nick, can you hear me?
You're in Sweden. I can't hear anybody else though.
Oh no.
And you?
No, I'm fine.
Thank you. Just thank you.
My day has been hectic today.
Like all of us, Thursday is a busy day.
Yeah.
But anyway, it'd be interesting to hear our fisher folks and end the evening maybe with some fish and a glass of wine after eight.
I see people have changed, eh?
They've also gained a lot of weight and complexion.
Complexion, the hair, the beard, and everything. Look at that man. I could have changed. How's everyone?
It's cold here in Cape Town.
Cape Town is always cold.
I don't want to be Cape Town.
No.
COVID-19 in Cape Town? How is COVID-19 in Cape Town?
It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Sometimes my unofficial theory is it's bad in Cape Town because we are a low-lying area, and it seems to be hitting the coastline areas more than the high-lying areas up there, Joburg way. I don't know if that theory counts. I'm not a scientist. In fishing communities, we speculate about everything. We have an explanation for everything.
Our fisher colleagues, I can assure you that our chairperson is always on time. He'll start a meeting a minute earlier, but because of connection problems, we're probably running a bit late.
Understood.
I think his area is very bad connection.
Yes, indeed, it is bad.
But no younger. Oh, Mabs. How are you?
I'm good, mate.
Now you look healthy more than last time.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm fit now.
Jalega, how are we doing with the Chairperson?
Good afternoon, colleagues. Good evening, in fact.
Hi, Mpo.
How are you?
Fine, sir.
Am I audible enough?
Yes. How are you?
Yes. We can hear you from Tongwana.
Oh, okay.
It's just all of you look fresh.
Okay.
After this, we must go to a gym. All of us, we must go to a gym.
How are you, Honorable Singh?
I am well, thank you, Honorable Member. And you?
I'm well, thank you.
Very good, very good.
I don't know.
Mr. Naika, Rylan Naika, can you bring your picture a bit lower?
Lower?
No, Mr. Naika, that's 100%. Desmond, you're fine. Good. Maybe you can.
I just, while we are waiting, I have a question of protocol. We in fishing communities and where we sit, we don't normally address each other as honorable, but this is no disrespect for you.
Are you not honorable?
Must object protocol.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try, but
no,
it's not second language to us. So.
I think
one day.
Comrade Modisa. Can you check with Jaleka how we're doing with the Chairperson as a word?
Check Mr. Lutisa.
I think some members or participants need to mute if they are not speaking.
I agree with you, Honourable Sin, because we can hear some bad noise at the background.
Agreed, Member Sin.
As we are muted.
Members, Mr. Modise is also struggling now, and then he has requested that we ask Honorable Mbatha.
I think that's a fisherman's tale from Honorable Modise, and all the fishermen know that. He's struggling. Then I move Honorable Mbatha to act as the chair.
Now, Mbatha, I'm going to hand over to you.
Okay, please. Pella, I've been sitting here the whole day. My bums are sore. But we can start. Welcome everybody, and can we officially open this meeting? And I know we have guests here. Welcome. Today you'll be honorable members, ne? Fishermen. So, any apologies? We have apologies, ne?
Yes, we have received only one from Honorable Singh. You're not Honorable Singh, Paulson.
Paulson is not here. Okay.
No, he's not. I think he was supposed to finish his exam at 3, but they moved it to 6 o'clock, so he's writing as we speak.
And then the chair and the whip also, because of the problem of
the network. Yeah, but I think they won't. Yeah.
Can we go to the second one, stakeholder interaction?
Yes.
To the program.
Mr. Jaffa?
It's Mr. Jaffa.
Yes.
That is me. I don't know if you can hear me. I've just unmuted.
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. You've got 15 minutes, sir.
You can start.
Are you saying I can start?
Yes, you can start. We're waiting for you.
Okay. Sorry about that. I didn't realize. So my apologies. But first of all, thank you for giving us this moment to share with you and to sort of speak about the issues related to small-scale fishing. I just want to say also that we have addressed the portfolio committee in the past on a few occasions. So if we go into record, you will see who Masi Fundisi is. But for the sake of just this conversation right now, let me just say two words about us. In that Masi Fundisi is an organization that has been working with small-scale fishing communities since the turn of the century, since 2000. We actively became involved in small-scale fishing issues. There are a number of issues that we have achieved since then. I need to say that probably the biggest of it all is the very existence of the small-scale fishing policy and its inclusion into legislation. Because prior to that, when democracy came, you know, post-apartheid, there was this big expectation that life for small-scale fishers would change, but it didn't. It became worse because everything was just completely commercialized. So in that sense, what I do want to say is that we need to understand that small-scale fishing has a strong commercial element in it, but it is not entirely commercial in nature. I need to say, to emphasize that small-scale fishers and in fishing communities, fishing is both a job and a way of life in equal proportions. The one is not bigger or better than the other. They have the same value, that it is a job and it is a way of life. It is a job in the sense that it earns income. It is work that we do. It is work that fishers do. It is work that fisherwomen do, people who fleck, who clean the snook, who clean the fish, who bunch it up, and who go from door to door or to a market to sell. So it is, in that sense, fishing includes both the fishermen, their wives, their aunts, their neighbors, their children, all of them play a role. So in that sense, it is a way of life. So let's move to when the policy came and when rights were allocated or started to be allocated in terms of policy. Of the 22,000 people or 22,600 people who applied for recognition as small-scale fishers, only 47% of that received rights. So 53% fell off. They fell out. And the reasons, we can only speculate, but we are told by officials that the reasons vary from the fact that people did not submit sufficient or the correct information, that they did not have access to vessels, that there were a whole range of issues that they couldn't meet. Now, that's the reason that we are told that, or one of the reasons that people were left out. But it is only the people who applied. It does not take into account the people who were not able to reach the point of recognition, but they were nevertheless dependent on fishing. They were nevertheless dependent on the intertidal zone where they collect mussels or pick mussels for food and for their livelihoods. So we have a huge problem in that respect, that people were left out, not just by the criteria, but they were left out because the overall system just simply did not make space for them, did not recognize them, did not acknowledge their existence. And in particular, what we need to point out right now is, at least for coastal fishing communities, there's the Marine Living Resources Act and there's the policy that is applied. For inland fishers and inland fishing communities, there's a complete legislative vacuum. Nothing exists. that accommodates those communities. So what makes it worse right now is the decision that small scale communities who have permits will qualify for grants or for social welfare, but the fishers who do not have permits, so fishers who fall outside of it, don't get anything. They do not even get a food parcel. So they have a double whammy. They don't get food parcels, but they're also not allowed access to the fishing grounds, largely because, level three has just started, but all the time up until now, access to the fishing grounds often happens through marine parks or terrestrial parks. Those places have been closed, so people are denied access to it, even if they have a permit, as has recently been given in the northern Cape, in inland Klerkieskoop and those areas, where it took 50 days of lockdown negotiations and discussion and engagement with authorities just to get a permit. So for those 50 days, even though people had the right to fish as given by Minister Creasy, they couldn't practice, they couldn't exercise that right. So it is foolhardy to think and to believe that fishing communities are in a better position, or that fishing communities are recognized as an essential service and therefore they can go to fish. That doesn't exist. You know, I think we need to be very, very clear on that. And then a particular problem that you know, we recently have gone through a big glut of a particular species on the coast, in the west coast, the snook. All of you who come to Cape Town will know about the snook as a staple food. It is. We battle to try and get snook into the basket, you know, into the basket that is of food that is distributed to people. You know, so in a sense, government is not coming to the table, people, fishers are saying, because here we have a nutritious commodity or nutritious food item that can alleviate hunger, that can address nutritional needs in fishing communities and way beyond. But it's simply just government doesn't recognize, it doesn't make space for that livelihood, for that contribution to happen. I need to say inevitably we need to say that repression. It is something that we did not expect. It is something that should not have a presence in the current COVID period or in the current pandemic period. We in the Eastern Cape, some of our fishers have been killed. I've been shot at by game rangers in the parks because they try and access the fishing ground through unofficial fences that doesn't exist. So people in those communities just walk, you know, because there is no fence. So they walk through. It's recognized as an MPA, but there's no demarcation that shows what it is. So they go in, they go walk through the grounds, they go to get to the water, and when they are there, the game rangers or the rangers and the state officials literally just attack them and they are shot. So that is one form of repression that we had hoped we would never ever see by our government in a period of severe hunger and desperation or need for food. And here's another problem that we perhaps see in, that many people just read about in newspapers, but for us in our communities, it is real, that government issues a permit to some of our KZN fishers, only some, but they issue one permit to the cooperative who got the permit, and they give that one permit, goes to the chairperson of the co-op, and the instruction is that chairperson must make copies for everyone in the co-op because the inspectors ask everyone for their individual permit. That chairperson has no means, doesn't have a photocopier. He's locked down. He doesn't have access to transport to be able to get to a point where he can make copies. He doesn't have the money to pay for the copies that he has, that has to be made, yet he is an essential service. So there's huge issues with the way communities are being treated. And I'm saying this specifically, you know, because we do sit, COVID is a huge problem, and it has made the existing problems that fishing communities have bigger. It has exacerbated it. But government isn't coming to the table to help deal with it, despite it being called an essential service. So what is it that we want? This is important. What are the things that we recommend? Is firstly, for government to actually recognize that small-scale fishing communities or small-scale fishers make a contribution, an active contribution to the economy at local level. They provide an active ingredient to the food and nutritional needs in communities. We desperately need government to recognize that. But we need not just government to recognize it, we need government to speak to and to get officials to understand that. Because what the government says and what the president often articulates is never understood and internalized or practiced by officials on the ground. We don't read it about it in newspapers. We see it. People feel it. It is real. I think a second issue that we need to put to you for serious consideration also is the fact that those cooperatives, particularly in the Northern Cape, where people have had a chance to form cooperatives that received legal rights that can harvest West Coast rock lobster, their lobster is sitting in cold storage. It can't be exported because most of their lobster, if not all of it, goes into, well, dare we say, goes to China. It is exported to China, to the US, and to Europe. And with that lockdown happening, their fish is stuck. And when the fish not being able to move, they also don't earn an income. Yet they do not get any benefit, or there's no reciprocity from government. So there's a clear case of need of where government can actually step in. And then just lastly, the question of PPEs. If fishing is an essential service, surely government must be able to or must recognize that PPEs must be provided to small-scale fishing communities or to small-scale fishers. We know in the Western Cape, the vessels that people use are small, are tiny. We call them buckies. You can only have two, sometimes three people on it. But the space that they're in, you don't know when they're out in the water what distance they can keep. But when they land at the quayside or on the beach, then how people rally together, how closely people come together to look at the fish, to engage, to trade or to sell. There's no controls there to keeping distance and to have protection. And if it is essential service, we would say to government, you have to provide, just providing to medical officials, so too are essential service, so too are fishers. So I want to pause there, you know, just sort of throw those few points in, and you know, give others a chance. But the issue really to strongly is that the benefit that is coming through food parcels to those who have fishing rights does not do justice to small-scale fishers, because the bulk of the fishers have been excluded from any form of social welfare altogether. And if they are excluded from that, then government is partly also responsible for their hunger and for the poverty that they experience, because they themselves can't get out of it because of the nature of of lockdown. Cambridge, let me stop for now, and we give others a chance, and we can speak again. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, are we going to have a discussion after each and every presentation, or they present and then we ask questions after? But I feel that it's much better when after presentation we ask questions, because we don't have any documentation on what they're presenting. Am I correct? Agreed or?
Chairperson, I've raised my hand. No, I agree with you. Let's hear all the presentations. But before we proceed, can we find out from the PLO, are there any officials from the Division of Fisheries in this meeting here to take notes of what is being said by these folks who've come to present to us? And if so, who is present? Thank you.
Comrade Gift, PLO. Where's the PLO? Chilega. Chileg.
Hello, colleagues. This is Nick from the Ministry. Me and Gift, the PLO, are taking notes for the department.
So there's no official from the department?
No, there's me from the ministry and Gift Nguni.
Okay. So you'll take the notes for the department. Okay,
we are,
can we go?
Yes, honorable member, we are.
Okay.
Sure.
Can we go to the second presentation?
Honorable member.
Yes, my dear.
Honorable member. The next presenter is also having connection problems, so we're going to go to Mr. Pedro. I will try and assist her to connect. Then if we win, she will be presenter number three.
So presenter number two now is number three.
Has now number three.
Number three. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yes,
Mr. Pedro, yes, Garcia.
Okay. Thank you. Please present.
Thank you, Chairperson.
The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, this is most probably one of the most embarrassing situations that we find ourselves in. Firstly, because we've done this over and over and over again. Our submissions to the Portfolio Committee, whether it was in 2013 and 2016, hasn't changed at all. The only thing that has changed are the officials and the portfolio committee members in certain instances. The situation has not changed. It remains dire. It remains as it is. But everybody is aware of what the situation is on the ground. Everybody is aware of the fact that our fishing communities exist in abject poverty. And there are reasons for that, but those reasons are not being addressed. So what I'd like to do this evening, instead of stating the obvious, we need to look at solutions, we need to look at ways of how we're going to do this. But before I do that, I also want to give you an indication of what exactly is happening on the ground and how COVID has impacted on our fishing communities. I think that is quite important. Long before COVID-19 had hit our shores, our fishing communities had already been feeling the impact. And this was due to the fact that even in the small-scale sector, what is in our basket of species are high-value species. There's a certain portion of it which are high-value species. These species are exported. The export markets had collapsed 2 months before we had gone into lockdown. The markets to China had collapsed completely. Maybe we are to blame as well because we had all our eggs in one basket. But that is not what we had expected. We didn't expect COVID to hit our shores. We didn't expect COVID to hit the globe as it's hitting the globe now, or the impact that it has on impoverished communities.
It was further exacerbated by the restrictions that lockdown had brought. Now, regardless of whether the whether we were declared an essential service, it wasn't very helpful with the restrictions that had came that had come with the lockdown. As much as the overseas markets had collapsed, our national markets had collapsed because of COVID, because the restaurant industry, the hospitality industry, the people that normally buy from the fishing industry had all but collapsed as well on a national level. So this is the situation that our people find themselves in. They have nothing to put on the table. At the moment, the only thing that they can do is fish for subsistence to put food on the table. That barely covers what any family needs to survive in this country. As far as the inland fisheries go, the same thing is happening there. There is so much confusion. The minister has just recently made announcements as far as level three goes, but that announcement or those guiding or the guide that she had suggested has not translated into anything or it has not translated into regulations as far as level three goes. So there's a lot of confusion out there. Our people simply don't have access. But besides that, our people don't have food on the table. And this is a critical time for our country. So that is the COVID situation as it is now. And I think it's imperative that everybody understand how COVID had impacted on the small-scale fishing industry. That left us, our fishers and our fishing communities with almost nothing, regardless of the fact, once again, that we were declared an essential service. It was an essential service without any market outlets. So we're sitting with the product, but it's useless. We can't make any money out of it. So that is the COVID situation. So I want to go back to where we want to use a different angle here. And I want to start with the type of terminology that we use. We say, you know, how do we use words and phrases like small scale, livelihoods, customary, traditional, food security, fishing communities? And then we have to look at how these terms or how this terminology is interpreted and how it influences the responses by officials in the department. And in particular, those at the highest level within the department, and in particular those who work at customer services. Because the minute that you say that you are a small-scale fisher, or you're coming to take off your permit, or you make an application for whatever you need as a small-scale fisher, you are treated with contempt. We have said this over and over and over, and we are just ignored. The negative attitude of many officials towards the small-scale fishers is not very helpful. Our fishers almost feel that they don't want to approach the department anymore. And this is not, this does not bode well for both the department and our communities. Fishers and fishing communities are treated in the most undignified manner because of the box in which we have been placed. The small-scale box that says you're a small-scale fisher, you don't mean anything. And this is what we need to change. We need to change it immediately. We should be talking less about the percentages of the resources that we that needs to be given to the small-scale fishers and the small-scale communities. And we must talk more about the value and where our people find themselves along the value chain. The value of the resource is of utmost importance because many times We neglect to see the real value because we have been so marginalized along the value chain that we just accept at face value what is given to us. And in the meantime, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600% is being added onto the resources that's been given to our communities, and our communities don't know that because they are being kept in the dark. And we have this monopolistic approach by marketers and the big companies, and nobody seems keen in any way to do anything about it. So it is a matter of building that institutional capacity at the grassroots level for our people to achieve what is necessary for them. We need to be equitably placed to derive that optimal beneficiation and not remain at the bottom end of the value chain. Policy needs to fairly address reform and injustices of the past. This is not taking place. It is sad that we're coming here and we're addressing the portfolio committee again. And instead of any progress that we got from a grassroots level, we can only talk about the regress. Nothing has changed in our fishing communities. Absolutely nothing. There is nobody, not on the portfolio committee, not in the department, that can come forward and say, look at what we've done here. There's great. The small-scale fisheries policy, as it's being unpacked and as it's unfolding now, won't show any benefits because there are no resources available to put into the basket of species. The only resources that's going to add economic value to that basket of species is only going to become available at the end of 2021, and that is if we're lucky enough to get the apportionment that the minister has spoken about.
Can I disturb you?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you wrap up? Your time is over. Please, if you can wrap up.
I thought I was given 15 minutes.
Yes, but the person who's keeping time is just sent me a message to say your time is almost over.
Ma'am, I am keeping time and my clock says 8 minutes and 28 seconds. Are you going to deprive us now once again?
Can you continue? Because while you are arguing, you are wasting lots of time. Can you continue our guest? Can you continue? Because
thank
the
you,
first
ma'am.
One, he was on time. He was on time.
Yes, ma'am. He did 16 minutes, ma'am.
Sorry?
And he did 16 minutes.
You need how much?
No, I said the first speaker did 16 minutes. So I've just done eight and a half minutes now.
I don't think so, because there's somebody who's keeping the time. Can we stop arguing and just wrap?
Yes, thank you. I just want to say this much. The minister had boldly stated long before COVID had hit our shores, or long before the lockdown, that there would be a consultative advisory forum, a CAF. Up until today, we don't know who's informing the minister when it comes to issues at the grassroots level or in the small-scale fishing industry. But the one thing that keeps us I'm at a loss for words now. But in any case, the reason why we stay where we are is because the department is never ever held to account when it comes to the small-scale fisheries, and this is one of the problems that we are dealing with. Months ago, we have applied for recognition as an interested party under the Marine Living Resources Act. We have done the entire process. There isn't a single civil society organization that has official recognition that can hold the department to account. The department refuses to acknowledge that there are small-scale fishing associations. And they do that as a strategy, because it's easier to divide and conquer than to deal with the people who are representing, who are democratically and legally and legitimately representing the small-scale fishers on the ground. I'm sorry, members, but the chair has thrown me out now completely. I'll rest it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Speaker. Just hold a little bit. Can I request that, because we don't have anything in writing from you, can you send your documents after that via the PLO Nguni gift? Can they do that through you so that we have the document? Even if they didn't finish presenting the document, we have the document and we can sit down afterwards, read the document nicely, because now the time is limited.
And Tim Chair, I will also suggest that it's better if it goes to Chileka as a committee secretariat, yes. And then it will be officially communicated from the committee to the department and addressed to the minister directly. Then on our side, the said department will develop a response.
Okay. Thank you. I think we are all covered. Can we get the next speaker? Chilaga, can we assist me with the timekeeping? The next speaker, it's Mr. Christian Adams. Is he here? Mr. Adams?
Chairperson, sorry to interrupt you, Chairperson Singh. According to our program, these organizations should be given 15 minutes collectively. And there are names there. I would take it that the organization presents 15 minutes and not each person. But I see you calling Mr. Adams. Mr. Adams belongs to the South African United Fishing Front of Mr. Garcia. So I don't think he would present because we've listened to that presentation, unless I'm incorrect.
Yeah, you're correct. But the person who's making things difficult here is Chilega, because she just said to me that the next speaker is Adams. And I see under one item, we've got two speakers, of which it can't be. Because that means that organization will get 30 minutes instead of 15 minutes.
Member, can I come in? Hello?
Yes, you can come in, Chilega.
The South African United Fishing Front and Fishers Collective, apparently there was a split. So that is why we're giving Mr. Adams. I saw him earlier, an opportunity to speak, because I thought they were like one organization. Hence, I gave Mr. Pedro an opportunity to present on behalf of that co-op. But apparently the merger is no longer there. So yeah, he's online. I can see Mr. Christian Adams, if he wants to
so
present or not.
Still 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's 15 minutes, yeah, each.
So let's agree that, are you agreeing, members? Let's give him 15 minutes. But next time, when you do the program, please double check with them that they are not from one organization, so that we put our agenda and time correctly.
Okay.
So 15 minutes starting from now. Thank you. Adams? Mr. Adams? Mr. Adams? Is Mr. Adams here?
He's online. And the mic was on, but it's off now.
He's showing his 15 minutes. Because it's 18:58 now, he's supposed to start. Just check him if he's not ready. Can we go to the next speaker? Who's the next speaker?
Okay.
Is he here?
It's Mr. Riaz Khan.
Is he here?
He was earlier. Mr. Khan?
Hi, Chair. Hi, can you hear me?
Okay, can you present what they are looking for, Mr. Adams?
Okay, Chair, I heard your complaint earlier around with regards to time. I'm going to hand over the first 7.5 or 8 minutes to Desmond Dessa, and I'll take over. Is that okay with the Chair? You're still taking your 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's 18:59 now, so you can start.
Okay, Mr. Dessa, you want to take over for now and hand over? Mr. Dessa.
Good evening, members of parliament. Good evening, comrades and friends.
Good evening.
It's good to just be here to present. I'm going to start straight away. The KZN subsistence fishermen have been around for hundreds of years, since 160 years. And we've been subsistence as our forefathers have been doing. And it's a fishing tradition of culture and tradition that's passed down from generation to generation since time immemorial. The KZN Subsistence Fishermen was formed in 2003 because of George Bush, the president at that time, after 9/11, decided that poor people should not be entering the harbors of South Africa and fish. We took the case to the port regulator, even though the government and Transnet had allowed fishing boats to fish in the Durban Harbour. But poor fishermen, which we call the rod and reel, or rock and surf fishermen, weren't allowed in the Durban Harbour. It took over 10 years to win that case in the port regulator and get the recognition as subsistence fishermen. So we are recognized by Transnet, by the port regulator, as subsistence fishermen in Durban. We have 12,000 of them have been given subsistence fishermen permits to enter the Durban harbour and fish. Subsistence fishermen have been not only been recognized, but also all along the Durban beachfront, we've been fishing as subsistence for years. To the issue of the policy and legislation, we have been involved with the government, with DAF. We have made serious comment. We must remember we've been fishing, and then the apartheid government recognized us and changed the fishing license to recreation, even though we were recognized as subsistence fishermen. So on the one hand, we were recognized by the local government as subsistence fishermen, but on the other hand, the apartheid government changed the license to recreational fishermen, which made the fishermen pay for that. The third important issue here is that the fishermen have always fished to take home fish. So we're talking about the poorest of the poor, we're talking about the unemployed, we're talking about people that reach the fishing spots to take in the trains, to take in the taxis, so it's public transport to reach all the fishing spots. We have two trains coming out of the Chatswood area every weekend that is run by Metro Rail that recognizes that fishermen will be subsidized with public transport like trains and take you to the fishing piers within the Durban Harbour. That's been going on for years and continues even up to now while I talk to you. The fourth issue is that the subsistence fishermen throughout the coastline, we've been working throughout the coastline, we've been working with fishermen all over the coastline, including Durban. There's over 30,000 fishermen that have been fishing on the coastline from Ushlui in the north, Lake St. Lucia, right up to Port St. John's in the south, where our people traverse and go and fish for a living. So, in a nutshell, we have an elected body, but more importantly, we have been talking to the provincial government, we have been talking to the council, we've been talking to Barbara Creasy and her ministry. And for some reasons or the other, they believe that we are not subsistence and therefore we do not deserve to be consulted because it's not in the law. We have proof of all the comments we made in regard to subsistence fishermen policy with the department, and I think we need to make those documents available. We have made it to some of the MPs who are aware of that. We have proof that we have consulted with the department, including the former ministers of fishery, the deputy minister of fishery, Becky Taylor, where we met him in Durban in different fishing communities. And he agreed that there, although he wasn't there for a long period of time, the policy should have been changed. We do understand that Minister Barbara Creasy is fairly new to this ministry. She hasn't been there long. It's only after the elections last year that she was brought into the cabinet to represent this ministry. But prior to that, all the evidence with the department where we have made all the information available. The subsistence fishermen have their own science, their own knowledge of the fish and their own knowledge of the ocean. That knowledge has been passed on. What has happened is sad and a travesty of justice in the sense that the department officials did not take all that information on board and to ensure that we were included into all policies. This is where the problem lies. And so we hope that with Riaz presenting about the COVID and what happened now, what we are seeking out of this process, we are seeking that the portfolio committee, which is the oversight committee, must direct the department to hold public hearings with everybody. And the portfolio committee can be party to that. But more importantly, the information that we provided can never be provided to the same department that has ignored all the information we have presented over the years. So it must be somebody independent. And yeah, we don't want scientists. We don't believe that the scientists will do justice to it. We want a team that is appointed from all the different fishing communities, probably a few people that can put together this document so that we can find solutions to the subsistence fishermen, to all the other fishing, the small-scale fishing, and all things that involve the entire people who fish on the coastline. We can't leave people out. We can't just have a few people fishing when thousands of people have been locked out from fishing. So I want to leave it there and I'll hand over to Riaz. Thank you.
Hi. Hi, can you hear me, guys?
Thank you for timekeeping. You were on time. Thanks, speaker.
Okay. With regards to Desmond, just to summarize what is happening with the subsistence fishing. So subsistence fishing has been there from time immemorial. They've been there, we've been catching fish, selling fish, and using it as an essential need. So basically what basically happens is the guys catch fish, they sell half of their fish, the other half they use it for buying essential goods at home. This policy where subsistence was not recognized, I don't know how it came about, but it was totally unfair. They rather go with the word recreational, that is from the apartheid time, rather than choose the word subsistence. So subsistence is a bigger word. The word alone says it all. So we need the policy to be changed. We need the regulations to be changed. We need subsistence to be recognized. These are the poorest of the poor. So if government is letting these people just go away, I don't think this is a place for anyone to even start, even on this committee over here, if we can't be recognized. The concerns under the COVID-19 was me as a chairperson that have been liaising with the minister and have been receiving correspondence to and fro, I've been arrested. Nevertheless, for they stated it was fake documentation with all correspondence from the department. So they still never recognize us as subsistence fishing. These people that really suffered, I've noticed people going to bed hungry. And yet the minister says that this law of them selling fish is illegal. Now, that is not right at all. These guys like have been doing it for 150 years. Now you decide to say it's illegal. This does not make sense to any one of us. These people go out late at night trying to catch fish, trying to provide for their families. And, you know, if you guys really see what they go through, you will really sympathize that these people don't want to be called beggars. They're not asking for handouts. They want to provide for their families. But yet, on the other hand, they pay for all the licenses. Small-scale fisheries is subsidized. Subsistence isn't. So with all due respect to all these guys out there, I hear what small-scale fisheries is saying. And if you take into cognizance that the subsistence is really suffering out there. So the government never heard us from the time that we objected with all the policies, even though it came to the MPA, the quota system, the small-scale, 26 small-scale in Durban, 6 small-scale co-ops in Durban, and a total number of only 48 people. So honestly speaking, there's not 48 people that are fishing. There's easy about 30,000 people that are fishing out there. So the stats that the minister is getting is totally wrong. Where she comes out and says that the fish is being depleted. Yes, it is. I agree. Because we allow the Chinese trawlers to come here and rape our seas. They don't have nothing out there. Yet here in Durban, we are being challenged. So everyone is suffering. Small scale, subsistence, even you want to call it recreational, they all are suffering. But if this is done in the proper manner, and you know the right person sitting behind the desk can put a head together or put a team together that can do the right steps, get the right people on the ground, we will all get the throat that is deemed to us. So I'm saying in a nutshell, the policies, the regulation, the word subsistence, all this year and public hearings need to be held for us guys to be recognized working as a team going forward. So that's what I would like to say in the end. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can we get Christiana Adams? I think he's on the line. He was supposed to present before. Chilaga, Christiana.
Yes. His microphone is on.
That, but he's not talking.
Hmm. Mr. Adams. Oh, I don't know now.
I will have to go to the next presenter. Who's available?
Okay.
Yes, Gabriel.
But can I maybe suggest that people who are not talking, who are not speaking or presenting, can we agree to switch off our mics and our screen? Maybe Mr. Adams will be able to actually speak and we could hear.
Okay. Can we do that? If we are not speaking, can we switch off mute our microphone and switch off our video so that we can give the chance to others? Bad connection. Try him, Chilega. Just try him again.
Yes, I'm on the line. Yeah, trying to call him.
Chairperson, is Mr. Ngubane not available? Coastal Links, KwaZulu-Natal.
Any chance? Chilega?
Okay, just hold on. Chairperson, I'm assisting Mr. Ngubane to connect. Just give me a minute.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chairperson.
Yes,
was there no other presenter after that one that spoke, so that he or she can present for now whilst we're waiting for Mr. Adams?
No,
his phone is off.
Is there no one else who was going to present?
The one after Ngubane is on voicemail now, the last speaker, according to the agenda.
Who is available?
Okay.
But now we are sitting in this. Mr.
Ngubane is available, but he's having a problem. I don't know. He can't see the microphone, so I'm trying to assist him.
I'm Chilega.
Yeah, they are online, but I don't know why they cannot connect.
Oh, Christiana is saying that for some reason I am not being heard. So we can't hear him, but he's around. Can you reboot it?
Okay. I'll call.
Or maybe while we're waiting for the presenters, we allow the members to ask clarity and questions.
Okay.
Then when the speakers come, then we stop and we allow those speakers to present. Otherwise, we'll wait here for the whole night. Some of us have been sitting in so many streamlines of meetings.
Okay.
Is it fine, members?
Yes, Chairperson. Chairperson,
okay.
Yeah, it's Singh here.
Mr. Singh, you should hear number one.
Okay. Can I proceed?
Yes, sir. It's Hannah.
Can you raise your hands so that I can see you? But Mr. Singh is number one. Who's number two? From members ahead, someone.
Hannah Winkler, Chair.
Thank you. Let's start with. Are you in?
Yes, I'm in. If you, I'm waiting for you to give me a go ahead.
Now you can go ahead.
Thank you very much, Acting Chairperson, and thank you to all the presenters for the presentations. Chairperson, I deliberately asked earlier on whether there were officials from the department at this meeting, because this is a formal meeting of the committee. And whilst I appreciate that Nick and Gift are here, they are here from the office of the political head of this department, which is Minister Creasy. And as we've heard, Chairperson, all the presenters have been expressing concerns about their interaction with officials from the department. But however, having said that, I'm sure that Nick and Gift and our researcher and Dr. Watts will be capturing all the concerns that the various speakers have raised. And I think, you know, I was very touched with the word repression, Chairperson. I mean, it was repeated over and over again. And when you hear all the presenters, and I'm not going to single anyone out, there are different dynamics, and you would find that the process of consultation has not been what it should be. And I think in fairness to us, this committee, all the presenters should realize that we are as new. Well, I think all of us, possibly just one member was in the previous committee, but the rest of us are new to this committee. We new to fisheries, and we started with Minister Creasy, but I can assure you that every member of this committee has been taking up your cause from the time that we have started interacting with the department. The different dynamics that I see, and I don't want to be long because other colleagues must have a chance, is firstly, I think we need to open up a process of consultation. We need to ensure that the categorization of fisher folk in terms of Marine Living Resources Act is re-looked at. And Chairperson, you are aware that when we adopted our reports of the department recently, we included that specific recommendation because at the moment, as you heard from the Zulu fisher persons, they don't have a category subsistence. The category is recreational, and recreational has a different meaning. So we need to include a category for subsistence, and we need to ensure that subsistence fishermen are given their due space in the whole quantum of fishing. But also, I think as far as COVID is concerned, we're pleased that level 3 would allow fishing. But the major concern here, again, from the department, Nick and Gift, is that the interaction between the different spheres of government is poor, if I have to use that word to say the least. The provinces, the municipalities, and national department don't speak to each other in such a way that the industry benefits, the fishing industry, small scale, recreational, or commercial fishers. And that is something that needs to be addressed, because I have received reports of fishers who are being harassed on the beaches by junior officials that belong to municipalities. So this is an area that we need to look at. So all in all, Chairperson, I would conclude by saying that we need to ensure coordination between the spheres of government. We need to ensure that the national department plays its rightful role in supporting this very, very important sector of our economy. And even now during COVID, these fishermen or fisher folk who are in dire straits because they don't have livelihood must be assisted by the department. And then the last issue I'd like to raise, Honorable Chairperson, is that we have to relook at the way MPAs, marine protected areas, have been demarcated, because there too the fisher organizations have concerns and we need to open up a discussion so that we can be true to the word of being a transparent government and a transparent committee. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Winkler.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to all the speakers this evening. It was very informative to hear your perspective. You know, often what we hear is from the position of government. And I have been fortunate enough to have engaged with a lot of the subsistence fishing community over the various hardships that they've been facing under the lockdown and prior to that. What I would like to get some clarity on is, in KwaZulu-Natal, and perhaps this is true across provinces, why were some subsistence fisher folk unable to qualify or to access the small-scale fishing permits? That is something that I'm very aware of, and it is definitely something that we have brought up with the department, is the reintroduction of a subsistence fishing category that can incorporate many of the recreational fishers who are subsistence fishers that were excluded from this application process somehow. And I'm not sure how this happened exactly, so I would love to understand that. And then if there are any officials from the department, I think it's Buyisiwe, who's from the DG's office, if she could provide some clarity on the time frame around the gazetting of the fishing regulations that apply to recreational fishers, please, because there are disparate communities and individuals in my province of KwaZulu-Natal and across the country that are unable to eke out a basic living, and that includes putting something to eat on the table, because the department is not being transparent enough about the fishing regulations and when they're going to be tabled and where they are standing in the process. So please, if we could provide some direction and clarity for our fisher folk, and definitely this as a call for the subsistence category that we will be pursuing as a committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other honorable member? Honorable Mkuno? I'm allowing the honourable members now, Fisher. I'm just explaining to our guests that it's time for our members to say something. If you have time, if you've got something, we'll just give you.
Thank you, honourable chair, and thank you for the presentations. But I have some clarities that I would like to get from the presenters. I can hear the others are in NGO and the others are just the organization. How inclusive are they in terms of the fishermen's or those that are involved in the small scale fishery from the deep rural communities? For instance, if you are from KZN is deep rural. Even along the coast, you have a lot of communities that are in rural areas. Also, when there was a presentation that was saying that they were shot by the rangers. Can we get that information in writing so that we can interact with that and see what really happened and where was that happening of those incidents that they are talking about, so that we can, when we move on with our next session, we are able to get those answers from the department, and the fact that they were given licenses, and licenses were given to, they said about 42 or 40 something percent of those that are in this section. if they say 42%, is it 42% nationally or is it per province? If they give us the document, can they give us that information so that we know and understand where and how fairly has this license been given, the fairly distribution of the licenses? And I'm sure the minister will be able to assist and understand. But the last thing is to indicate to our stakeholders that we are a portfolio committee, and we've started with the minister. So when they present, I can feel that they've been presenting before. But if they can just bear with us so that we can all have that information that will empower us to work on these matters and assist wherever we can throughout. But the last one is the inland fishing communities which they say they are not covered in the legislation. Maybe by inland fishing communities, what do we mean? Do we mean those that are having their ponds or they are fishing in the rivers? Do we have the statistics for all those people? Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. And Honorable Ntongwane, do you have anything to say?
Thank you, Chair. All I can say for now is to request the representatives of the fishermen to submit the documents, even those that were disconnected and that were not able to present today. If they can provide the portfolio committee with the documents that they have just presented so that we can go through them, and so that they enable us to then call the department and the minister to come in and I think we take it from there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me appreciate the presentations from the different presenters. We appreciate and know that their plight it is severe, because they do not have any source of income. They depend solemnly on the daily catches that they must catch. But Chair, I had some few meetings with some of the anglers. They were requesting that there is a number that is, they are supposed to catch per day. They were also checking that if they cannot be allowed to catch more, instead of 10, can be allowed to catch, let's say, 15. Remember, on this COVID-19, some, they did not even receive any food parcels, as the previous presenter also mentioned. So I also want to concur with Uma Mutongwane by saying we really need to get those presentations so that as members of the portfolio committee, we can engage thoroughly with the department and see where the interventions we can make. We really appreciate, we understand their plight, and we are with them because we are staying with them in these communities. We know their frustrations. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Who's the honourable member that I didn't call? Who's the honourable member that I've missed here? Are you all covered? Are you all covered, honourable members?
Yes, I am so far covered.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to check if I didn't leave anyone outside so that I don't cause any problems. But gentlemen, thank you for coming to us, and please take it that we are new in this portfolio committee. We started last year. We know that we have submitted since 2013 to date. It's a long time, but we request that you give us the written documentation, your presentation, so that we look at your presentation, and we also can hold the minister and the officials accountable on all these issues, because they are the ones who are implementing. We are not implementing, but we are monitoring them. But all your concerns has been taken. The issue of the vacuum of policy, those are the things that we need to look at as the PC. There's the issue, you know, I'm sitting in another PC where we had a problem of the number of people that applied and the less number of people that were approved. But I see also here you are complaining. The first speaker complained about the issue of the people who applied, which is about 22,600, and only 53% that was approved. I think the department must explain, owes you an explanation to say, why is it because of the budget? Because even if the number can be bigger of the applicants, but the department can't take everyone. And the issue of, I remember we once discussed the issue of fisheries as an essential in our portfolio committee. I think we need to have a discussion with the minister and the officials. It's a pity we have a skeleton of the people from the department. In fact, for this portfolio committee meeting, it was going to be much better if we had people who could give an answer now. But it's not a big mesh, a big deal, because as a portfolio committee, we can request a meeting with them. But once we have received your presentation through Chileka, so that we can sit down, we understand everything, because if we are a small scale fisherman, when it comes to PPE, you are supposed to get the PPE. Those are some of the things that other departments were assisting during the SMMEs during the COVID-19. So most of the things that you have mentioned, they are very much important, and they make sense. And it's for us as the PC to sit down and ask and ask the department and the minister to account to us, and then we can give you a feedback. We can call another meeting after and then give you a feedback. Please bear with us. NgesiZulu sing bathi bangalahli themba ngithi. They must hold on there. We are still the new PC, but we had everything. But the only thing is that if you can get it in a written documentation. And there are some clarities that some of the honorable members requested from you. I don't know whether you can do it now or you'll do it in writing. Because the other thing, I want to know also the role of the NGO. Because as an NGO, I thought the NGO was going to tell us the role when it comes to the fishermen. How does the NGO assist this small fisherman when it comes to these issues? And also, as a woman, I need to know how many women are involved. I only see men, men's choir here. Where are the women? Huh? Where are the women? Huh? Because we need women also. Don't you have women? Yeah. These are the things that you must give us clarity on. And also the younger ones also, the youth. It's Youth Month now. We were supposed to showcase us that it's Youth Month. You've got so many young fishermen or fisher ladies where you're working so that we know, because really we need to break that thing. And remember also the disabled also. Those are the people that need to be part and parcel of all what you are doing. Maybe I can give you time to answer some of the questions that were asked by the members.
Chair, before you give them, there is someone called Christian A who has written something there. Can you recognize that person, because he has written on the...
He wanted to say something.
I think now he's on. Can you afford that person an opportunity to speak before the presenter?
Where's Christiana Adams? Are you available? Audio yakhe ayizwakali. There's a problem with his gadget. Because the IT guys are trying to assist him. I think it's his gadget.
The phone on my... All right. Bye-bye.
Hi, Mambata.
Is Adams available?
He's online, but he's speaking, but we can't hear him.
That means it's his gadget.
Yeah.
Just tell him that he can submit to you in writing what he wanted to present.
All right.
And then can we give the fisherman, our guest, the chance to clarify where the clarity is needed?
Sorry, before we get to that, ne? I cannot connect with her. So she asked that Mr. the first presenter, Mr. Rafa, present on her behalf. Miss Smith, the second presenter that could not join.
Presenter number what?
Number two.
For which? There's 2.3, 2.4.
So, Miss Solin Smith. She couldn't connect at all.
So, is the speaker ready to present on her behalf?
Let me check. Mr. Schaefer?
I can hear you.
Yes.
If I can just quickly respond just to this request, I can say, I want to say a few other things as well, but just to this request, it's difficult for me to present on somebody else's behalf if I do not have in my hand what she wanted to say. Mm. So it is, I appreciate the request and I understand it, but I respectfully have to say that it's not possible for me to do so. But I can say to you, somebody also asked, what is the role of Mercy Fundisi? One of the things that we do substantially is to mobilize fishing communities where they exist at local level into groups, into organization that consists of fishers and people directly connected to fishing, like people who clean fish, which primarily women, people who sell fish, which is primarily women. We do that. That is the work we do. It is a facilitating role that we play within communities, and we are community based ourselves. But we are registered as an NGO. We don't make any apologies for that. But when we work, the work and our operations is entirely community centered and community based. It is not as a welfare organization or as an NGO that provides any other service. We build capacity, we help people understand the socio-economic context that they're in, to analyze it and to skill them to be able to do things better in fishing for themselves. I can say also that we do have, as part of the preparation for this, we have facilitated discussions
in all
forms. Chairperson, there's a lot of disturbance. Somebody has not muted. So we are failing to hear, Mr. Chairperson.
Somebody said that please mute your mic if you are not speaking. Thank you. You can continue.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Okay. Who is that now?
Shulene Smith?
Oh, we've got Ms. Smith, I think, Chairperson.
You are busy. Wait for us, then we will give you a chance. There's somebody who's speaking now.
Thank you.
Chair, with all respect, I know Shulene quite well. It is very important that you hear her voice and hear what she has to say. So I'll pause for now. Let Shulene speak, Chair, with due respect.
Okay. Hello?
Yes.
Hello, ek is Shulene Smith, goeienaand, allemaal goeienaand, agbare voorzitter. Ek is baie blij vir die geleentheid wat ek het, om te kan praat namens die vissers. Ek is een visservrou gebore.
Kan jy Engels praat, voorzitter? Kan sy Engels praat?
Sorry, I can't speak English, but I will speak English and Afrikaans because I speak well in Afrikaans and I can speak better if I speak Afrikaans, but I will try to speak English also. Good night, everyone there. I'm a sister woman of the Western Cape. I'm glad to talk tonight.
Smith.
Yes.
You're running alone. Wait. You must work with us. Don't run alone.
Okay.
If you speak in Afrikaans, we won't hear you. We won't hear you. You better speak to English. Just hold
Can I propose that she express herself in her language where she will feel comfortable? And then Mr. Sin can summarize what she's saying for us. Please. I understand her plight.
Okay.
Or someone from the church can say for us.
Most of us English is not our first language. We are struggling. Let Smith struggle, because once you say somebody must interpret, it will take us more time. And we had 15 minutes per speaker. So that means we must give you 8 candy.
Try it very much. Thank you. Thank you, honorable chairperson. I like to speak Afrikaans, but okay, I will try to speak English. But if I speak in Afrikaans, it will be better for me. I'm a Fisa woman of the Western Cape. I'm born a Fisa woman. And I'm glad to talk about the Fisas. You know what? The COVID-19 come when nobody know where it comes from, for who it is or for whatever it is. Somebody, the physicists even understand what the COVID-19 is. But we learn a lot of things here. You know what? In the past, we struggled to talk to somebody of even that somebody listened to us. But let me tell you that the communication between the officials and the fishermen are poor, very, very poor. You know what? We said it doesn't matter that we have our right to go to sea. We are entitled to go to sea, but we go to sea and we experience a lot of passport, police, all the people who work under death, that throw our fishes out of the water. What means that? They can't even work for their own money. It is so terrible. In the night I sleep, people phone me, Shulene, you must come. Your sisters were scared on sea. They can't be on sea because the army people say to our sisters, you mustn't be on the water because we don't worry what the minister says, what other people said, you can't go to sea. No, we don't want you on the sea because it's COVID-19 and it's lockdown, you mustn't be on the sea. The thing, what I experience as a leader here is the following. From years on till now, the communication is very, very poor, and the people can't get rid of that because there will be no communication. And who's the people who suffer the fishes? And the fishes, let me tell you that, I want the following for the fishes, the following I want. The following things I want is that from now on, the portfolio committee must go to the minister and them and tell them that we want to be part of the decision making. We must want to be part of co-management because we live in the MPA. We was born near to the MPA. Some of our fishes born there, but now we didn't even can make decisions how we want to work in the MPA. There's zones, and the zones is not for us. The zones is that only one zone you can fish there. The fish is not lying still in the water. The fish is running out of one zone to another zone. Why can't we sit in times like now around the table and discuss how we want to work? And we want to be part because the fishes got it this knowledge. My English is not so good, but if I talk Afrikaans people, I will tell you the whole story. My English is not so good, but the indigenous knowledge of our fishes is like the researchers in the department. They can tell you when it is that, when it is, when we can go to sea, when we cannot go to sea. We experienced a lot of things. When the lockdown starts, there was no testing for the fishes. No fishes was tested for the COVID-19. There's no protected clothes. There was no mask. Fishes didn't even know they must use masks. We as leaders must go in the communities, tell our fishes, you must use masks, you must use hand sanitizers, you must use nothing. The department did put it all over, but our fishes, as me, cannot speak English. Everything is in English. Sometimes it's in Afrikaans. People don't understand. People don't want to even look when there's things, because lot of fishes didn't even go to school. But let me tell you that the fishes is sick and tired of the marketers. What we learn out of that COVID-19 now is the following. We as fishers want a local market here in our own South Africa. We want it here that we can get rid of the marketers who all these years we've got nothing. And all one species, the West Coast rock lobster, is also a species who have a high value, and it's a species once a year that fishers can get money out of that. And even that, the COVID-19 now makes that there is no value about that, because some of the fish is still in the water. The thing we ask for the portfolio committee is please let us see until September, because the offshore crisis is still in the water, and that people can have value about the West Coast rock lobster. The audit, where they take, there is so many fishes outside as fishes on the list. The fishes on the list, some of them, a lot of them are not fishes. So please, committee, please, go to the minister, ask her, please, that the reviewing must go over. Because now I can say I'm a community worker. I work in my community. I'm a soup kitchen at my home. I make every day soup for them. I make every day food for them because the hunger is so big. The department gives food parcels. Let me give you advice. When you get
Can you wrap up? Your time is up.
You can government buy our fish, that it becomes we can go to sea, but we haven't got market for our fish. So I will stop now. Please let the government buy our fish, that they put it in the food parcels they give that the abundance of people in the community get protein. I'm sorry that my time is so small, but I will get you a lesson later.
Listen, my darling Smith, you can submit your presentation in writing, all your concerns in writing later.
I will do so. I will do so, lady. Thank you.
Even if you do it in Afrikaans, the parliament will assist you with the translation. But thank you. At least we have a woman who's doing fishing. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, lady. Thank you.
And there were some clarities that have been given. Is there anyone who's still on the floor who wanted to say something on the issues that were raised by the members of parliament? The fishing members.
Chair,
I know Khan was still, and he. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I don't see
who's in this. Yes, I can.
It's Gift.
Can people who are not speaking mute their mics? There's too many mics that are unmuted. Please. Charles,
Jordan,
Christiana.
Yeah.
Okay. You can speak, Gift.
Chair, I only wanted to. Yes, I can hear you, Chair. Thanks, Person. I wanted to respond to an issue that was a matter that was raised by Member Winkler on the issue of regulations, whether they are gazetted or not.
Okay, please, Ashish.
Yes. The minister will definitely come back to the committee and report on the issue of the regulations, whether they're gazetted, because presently they are in the state attorneys and they are still working around them. As soon as they are confirmed, definitely the minister will come back to the committee with them.
Thank you. Is that all?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. And then, Mr. Khan, you were still saying something. Then there was Smith. Then we gave Smith a chance to speak. Where is Mr. Khan?
Sorry, I'm Chair Edmund Dussa. I'm not sure who else is there, but
It's you, ne? Okay.
I wanted just to answer a few things that Honorable Member Winkler wanted us to answer on. Firstly, I must say that there were permits issued on the 24th of March to the small-scale fishermen on the coastline. It was all in English. People that are Zulu-speaking couldn't translate it and couldn't sign it up. The permits that they granted was only given at the end of May, and it expired at the end of June. So they only gave a few permits to individuals. It expired at the end of June. They done some training with the small-scale fisheries in the province, but they didn't continue it, and this has hampered them. One of the issues that they're bringing up is that they cannot sell their fish, and no food parcels have been given. So in areas like Amgababa in South Coast in KZN, only one person is given the permit, and yet there are 300 fishermen that have signed up for it. The other thing that I wanted to answer so that MP Ran Singh has it, is that in Widdum, in Amkamas, five fishermen were arrested. In Durban, two nights ago, in Blue Lagoon, the police were hitting the fishermen and chasing them from that. As well as the Cuttings Beach, where a number of fishermen were arrested and had to pay bail and fines. And just finally, because I think it's important for the committee to know that we have over 600 fishermen in the organization of subsistence that were signed up and registered with Transnet and the organization in 2014. We will provide all that evidence, Madam Chair. We will put it into the presentation. I must say that the ministry has been more forthcoming than the department. So we have been engaging with the ministry, and what Gift has said about the legislation, about it being gazetted, we are also aware of it, we're waiting for it. The problem was that the ministry issued a press release on Monday to say that fishing is open, and that was leaked out. And you know what happened, Madam Chair? People weren't trained in social distancing, they weren't given the equipment, and everybody was fishing on the South Coast. That is something that we need to work together so that we can get our fishermen the protective gears needed to go out there, and also to understand what social distancing is important. I must say, Madam Chair, that I am glad that you have given us a chance. I will make sure, and we will make sure, that from outside, that Teleka gets the presentation by Monday, because the information is on our computers. We will make sure that the information is sent through, and that there'll be questions and also facts put into that presentation, because we want you to have a lot of information that you can ask the department, plus ask the ministry, and then the questions that will be required, so that we both jointly as Parliament, which is oversight, and ourselves can work together to find solutions to a massive problem that can, if we get our fishermen to fish in the ocean, we will reduce poverty. And we need your support. We understand it as members of Parliament from different political parties. We thank you for your support. And I'll hand over to Riaz.
Hi, Madam Chair. Thanks once again for the platform. I just got two questions to put to the officials for point of clarity. I just want to ask you, supersedes by me saying that, I just want to know from the guys whether that an official from the Sea and Rescue can issue permits, and can he implement law for deaths? Because that's what is happening in Durban currently. Is he allowed to issue permits? Is he allowed to make decisions for deaths? And if so, can that be given to us officially as well? Because currently that is what is happening in Durban now, which is totally unfair. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, colleagues and everyone. I think we have come to the end of the meeting. And
Chairperson,
soon.
Can I just have one point, Chairperson Singh here?
Okay, my friend, you can continue.
Thank you very much. I'm glad I'm your friend, Shandu. Chairperson, I think the issue of the regulations needs to be sorted out sooner rather than later. I just hope that the court case is not going to impact on the release of the regulations. And we need some directions there, Gift, in terms of the regulations. The minister said she would publish by Friday, but I don't know what impact that has. If it has an impact, then we've got to let all the colleagues who are making presentations know about it and what that impact is going to be. And lastly, Chairperson, I think having listened to the fisherfolk here, just like in the business sector, we recognize big business, but we place a lot of importance on small and medium industries and the informal sector, which contributes to the economy. Here is an informal sector of fisherfolk that we have to give due attention to. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Singh. It's true. Like I said, we've realized that also in the agricultural land and reform portfolio committee, that the small businesses are not benefiting that much. They are left behind. They are really suffering. So, and I think that needs to be corrected, because that's where we get so many parents that are feeding directly from, that are feeding their families directly from that source of income. So if that source of income is not there, the whole families, they are staying without food. And I believe that if there's any issues that need, I don't know, because we need to also to look at the issue of the small businesses, if they are, if they can be assisted, because I saw something gift that they can be assisted under small business, small businesses. So these are the things that we need to empower our own communities. These are our own brothers and sisters that we need to empower them on such issues. Then there's the, also the issue of the 350 that they can apply. But we need to fix the issue of the COVID, because the issue of the COVID, I think in most communities, in all the sectors, the small businesses were the most affected, more than the big businesses. And that needs to be corrected. But anyway, thanks for everything. Thanks for allowing me to be your chair, your acting chair, and giving me that respect, being a woman. Thanks very much. And I hope next time you are not going to fight with us. We are going to work together to resolve your issues, and we are there for you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Thank you,
everyone. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Bye. It's a very last question.
Thank you.
Could I ask a last question? Could I ask a last question, please?
Pedro?
Yes.
I wanted to know if
it would be okay if we do the submission before the close of business on Monday.
Yes. Okay. The committee admit, yes, that's what we agree on.
Please, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, Mr. Wana.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Wear your mask. Bye-bye. Keep maintain social distance.